think a water bottle says a lot about a man, and yours makes you look like a ponce.
A pont?
A ponce.
What's that?
A fucking poncy boy, like you frolic in leaves.
Yeah, it's a dandy. It's what a dandy would drink. Yeah. Or is it...
No.
This is what water bottles used to be back in cowboy days. This was the closest thing you could get to
it. Stop trying to connect with your past selves.
No, but I'm just saying this is what... Because think about what was a water bottle before the invention of plastic. This is probably it, right? Yeah,
no one's shocked by what you're saying.
This is an old water bottle.
Yeah. I guess it's of a certain time. Mm. But the style of it now is embarrassing. Yeah, I lost mine.
You lost yours. And I lost
mine
too.
It's time for a new one. It's time for a change.
I lost mine too. And the reason why I have this is because I lose my bottles at such a rampant rate, I can't buy one too soon after I've lost it, or else I'll lose it again.
Sure.
So financially, I have to space out my bottle buying.
Right, now, so this isn't a first choice.
No. Since I started using this, I've lost 3 bottles, okay?
Right.
I take them with me to gigs.
Yeah, do you take that to a gig?
No, I can't. It's glass. That's why I haven't lost it.
You can't take it. Why?
I couldn't take this to a gig.
Why?
A glass, it'll break. It's not what it's used for. It's a home bottle. It's a bottle for the home.
You could take that to a gig.
No.
You'd look like a ponce. No,
yeah.
That's your only problem.
But it's also, there's a too high chance of it breaking. It's not a travel bottle.
Well, if you pop that baby in your rucksack, that's fine. Maybe pad it with a jumper.
No, I don't want to be padding it with jumpers.
That's the first logical thing you said today. My bottle.
I want this for my home bottle, and that's why it keeps coming in.
So would you...
And I've lost the lid, funnily enough.
In an ideal world, would you have a home bottle and an away bottle?
Yeah. So ideally, I wouldn't have this in my roster.
A private and public?
Yeah.
Indoors, outdoors?
I genuinely would like a Chili's bottle of every size. Because I have use for every size.
I have an engraved Chili's bottle that says Andrew.
Do you still have it?
I gave it to Elle.
Oh, nice.
Because it wasn't like a mad act of... Wow, isn't he?
You can have me.
Holding for applause.
It's your Horcrux.
No, it's just it was too small. I like a big fat boy.
I want a big fat boy for at home.
Yeah.
I want a small one when I've got a rucksack. And then I want a really small one for when I only take my sling bags to like new material gigs. I have use for every size. And then I'd like a slightly smaller one. I want a really
now
big...
Now you're just being...
No, I want a really big one mental. That is only for the house. So I can take it from...
That's to a liter, that size, a liter, to scale.
A litre.
A litre's not that much. Mine was 2.
2 litres?
I think.
Fuck.
I think it was 2. And that's why I was pissing all... So since I've lost that, I've been pissing a normal amount.
Interesting.
If it's there, I'm going to drink it. If it's there, Daddy's going to look it up.
Well, so that's... I guess pissing is a good thing because you should be drinking lots of water.
Well, yeah, but there's too much, isn't there? I mean, it just became inconvenient.
You weren't pissing an extraordinary amount.
Well, yeah,
the inconvenient truth.
Is weeing too much.
Yeah.
Al Gore. 2008.
Well, they're both about water, I guess.
Yeah. There's floods involved in both. One's more, you know, the world. The other's my toilet.
Right, you teased me by saying you were going to give me something about Biden, a cold open.
Yeah, I did actually. Right, so I'm just going to show them first. So recently, but like today, I just saw this. Today, Biden has said, today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's quite optimistic about a ceasefire being reached in Gaza.
Can I see it?
Now I'll show you how he's delivering it. So for those listening, quite astonishingly, he's saying this.
When do you think that ceasefire will start, sir?
Well, I hope by the beginning of the weekend. I mean, the end of the weekend. At least my national security advisor tells me that we're close.
So he's holding an ice cream cone. It looks to be a vanilla ice cream cone. I don't think anyone's allowed to say the words "my national security advisor" whilst holding an ice cream cone.
So is the mic's in the cone or is it an actual ice cream?
Why would the mic?
Was it like a novelty microphone?
Or was it... no, it's a real ice cream. what world is that a novelty microphone?
Because I thought it was like. Yeah. Show me again.
He's got a mic on there. It's not a novelty microphone.
Mic on where?
On his lapel.
Oh, so it's not on. Oh, I see. I thought it was on the ice because he's holding it.
It does look like a novelty. That would be weirder. That would be weirder. Because he's clearly doing some, like, you know, stop and doing Salt of the Earth tours. But if he was doing that, that would be his choice in Ultimate Ice Cream. This is a bit more like, oh, you've asked me a weird time, but I hope, yeah, there is.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should normalise politicians.
With ice cream.
With ice cream. I think just going into, like, when he's into the kind of emergency correspondence.
Yeah.
I want him fielding questions, holding an ice cream that's slowly melting.
Yeah. With a Neapolitan dripping down.
You're eating a lot.
Right, digestives. How's your tummy? What's going on?
What do you mean?
How do you eat a pack a week?
I don't eat a pack a week.
You eat a pack a week?
I don't eat a pack a week. It's not been a great
week. See how he reaches for his water when he's lying.
To be fair, BB has been padding the stats a little bit.
Right, so she's munching on the tivs, yeah.
More than she'd care for me to divulge.
My problem with them is if you actually go on to last week's episode, if you look at the very start, I'm mid-eating a digestive. But my problem with them is I thought, look, I'm back on my chalky hype, but it's now kind of manageable.
Sure.
I'm not going to the offie and buying the big bars.
Yeah.
I'm buying like a small one.
Were you slightly grateful about Brexit causing bars to be smaller?
It didn't. What?
So you know the big bars are actually not, they're considerably smaller than they used to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like the ones with like four rows?
Yeah. Considerably smaller.
I fucking fancy one of those now.
They used to be like that and then Brexit happened.
Really?
And then they made them smaller and I'm like, you know what? That's smart because I'm going to pretend that they're still the big ones.
Yeah. Well, they still are big. There's still a hell of a lot of chocky in there.
Yeah.
But now I'm going and buying just a single like ripple kind of thing.
That's growth.
It is. But then, so I thought, oh, maybe I saw digestives up here and I was like, maybe I'll get digestives.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a couple of digies is better than a bar of choco. Mm. I just can't stop eating the fuckers.
Yeah.
They're the most Moorish things.
They're like Pringles. I
ate a pack in 3 days when I got it. I couldn't stop. Once you've eaten half the pack in like a day and a half, you're like, well, who gives a fuck anymore? I fucked it anyway. We might as well fuck it all the way.
They do seem to have like a more depressive quality than other...
Chocolate's a bit of fun. It's a bit of childhood. Whereas our digestive is like...
I think it's because it packs a lot of stodge as well as being chocolatey. Mm. I just think there's a deep, like, it's a more profound sadness after eating too many digestives. Like, yeah. if I eat too much chocolate, I feel a bit sickly.
Yeah, sick.
But the digestive one is more like...
Profoundly depressed.
Well, yeah. What is the point?
Is everything going to be okay?
No,
and the answer isn't.
No, it makes me feel awful. No, I really should not eat
just
them.
Ate 10 digestives.
But for what's crazy about why you're eating milk chocolate digestives, and to those of you who don't have digestives, I guess this is not a particularly relatable segment. But it's when you finish one, you really feel like you can eat more and be fine.
Mm.
Like
it's true.
You have such delusional things you tell yourself. Well, I'm eating two and I'm like, well, two's not enough. I can have like another two.
Is that something
fine.
To do? Because that's absolutely true. Is that something to do with how we digest them?
What do you think? Do you think there's mechanics?
I don't believe that there's a reason they're called digestives and no one's told me yet.
No one's told me exactly. But
we're only asking each other, which is why no one's told us.
But it does just sound like that's how British confectionery just had stupid names.
Who
like
does
that?
That? Just, who does that? I've got this lovely new biscuit. What should we call it? Digestive.
It sounds like a laxative.
Well, exactly. What are you going to call it? Digestive? No. I don't want to call it digestive.
It's a horrible.
It's like calling. Oh no. Yeah. No, I don't understand how that got passed. And the only reason
we need to call each other out on digestive eating, I think, that needs to.
Well, I don't have them.
Call your mate out.
Call your mate out. Yeah, have a word. What do they say?
What's the thing?
What's the thing? Like stamp it out.
Yeah,
that's football. Like, yeah. Call them out.
Yeah, and it's normally like an ad of a guy being a bit.
Yeah,
and then they go, whoa, mate, that's not what we do.
Yeah, are you all right, miss?
Yeah,
that's not on, buddy. We're better than that. Yeah. I expect more from you, Joel.
Gillette. The best man can get.
The man who is the man who shaves.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not on the stivs. I'm going to be hitting up a chocky later, though.
Oh, yeah?
I've been a good chocky boy. I haven't had one all day, so I'm going to go and get some.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you what is embarrassing.
What?
I started having protein shakes.
Damn. Well, you're turning into a bit of a beefcake hunk.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah?
It's accidental.
You're going to be a hunky monkey.
It's honestly accidental. Yeah. I need to swim more instead of go to the gym because it's just like, it's nice.
So are you...
It feels good.
Yeah. Famous. Quite literally famous.
Yeah, yeah, well, I was a bit surprised by that. I thought, you know, it's all pain, no gain.
But
whereas it's not actually that much pain.
So you're addicted now.
I'm not. Well, the thing is, I'm addicted. I also need to pass off my addictions. So I'm.
It's a pretty good one.
I'm drinking a lot less in the week.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of that, I'm smoking a lot less. Yeah. Slash stopped and not stopped and everything.
Yeah.
But so I fear that if I stop this, then I'll end up back in the gutter.
Yeah. It's true. I do feel with you. It's you need these routines. It's holding back.
It's holding back a demon.
It's a dam.
Yeah.
Once burst it.
Well, this is what happened last.
It's miss one swimming session and it can all fucking spiral.
Well, it happened last summer. It was all going like this, and then I had one cigarette, and then off you go. See ya.
You woke up six months later.
Didn't get back in the pool for like 4 months. It was crazy.
Swimming. I respect that you go swimming because it is one of the healthiest things to do because it's all over, it's low impact, all of that, but it is gross. Public pools are gross.
Well, because I've ingested a child's shit from that pool, probably. You find that gross, do you?
I do.
Maybe Miss Glastonbury, is that gross?
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
I do think
that pool is horrendous.
I do think a public pool is fucking
no, there's something sexy about it.
It's minging.
There's something sexy about
it. And I don't use that word lightly, but I'd say it's minging.
The word minging is minging.
It's manky.
Oh, love it. Actually, love it.
Manky.
Love it. Reclaim. I really want to digest
it. What are you doing there next to that manky old boot, Harry?
Oh, your shoes are manky.
Do you know who is the definition of the word using the word manky?
Matt
Ron
Cowley.
Weasley.
Yeah.
Ron Weasley. It
100%.
Was...
Oh, Harry, that is manky.
Oh, what are you doing with that manky old hat, Harry?
What are you doing with that manky old boot, Harry?
Because his whole shtick was like, He never yeah. got what was going on ever.
He was a little bit dumb, but then he had bravery. But he was a scared boy. His arc was being terrified to being brave, wasn't it?
Well,
he was always like, spider,
and then he's like tits.
Yeah, no. What scared of him?
Massive tits.
Massive tits. He was also a bit like. He was very childish, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a bit, what's the word, petty.
Also, which I didn't realise, is that he was the representation of...
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. I put the name in the goblet fire. Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Thank you.
Harry Potter.
You want to explain for the folks at home what that is?
Well, we explained last week.
But explain again.
It's the moment in Goblet of Fire where Dumbledore first sees that Harry's name has come out of the Goblet of Fire, so he'll be in the Triwizard Tournament. And Michael Gambon decided, I think this is documented, to do some sort of weird amalgamation of all of the British Isles accents.
I don't think it was a good choice. In retrospect,
that's a pretty iconic role, you know.
Yeah, he's a good actor, but I actually think if he'd chosen one, I don't think any of us would have been like, I wish he'd done four.
Yeah, I don't know, I kind of like it. It keeps you on your toes. Well, yeah, because at that moment he goes, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter!
Harry, you're manking for putting your name in the Goblet of Fire.
But he's the representation of the working class by J.K. Rowling.
Bloody hell, Harry!
Yes.
Bloody hell, Harry!
Which I guess is
far off.
Yeah, is he the only? He's Harry. One of the only working class representations in the.
Yeah, the Weasleys are meant to be dirty little poor people. Because every time you go to the Weasleys, there's always a big bowl and there's like a magic broom mopping up their laundry, and it's like
stewing. It's not very tasteful.
That's their representation of poor people. It's just
not like the Malfoys, who are, you know, they're high class.
No, it's literally snobs. There's always pots at the Weasleys just stirring, mopping, boiling their clothes. They're always boiling their clothes. But that's the thing, isn't it? And like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
they boiled their clothes.
They were boiling their clothes.
Yeah,
Matilda. I reckon there's boiling clothes going on in Matilda.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, Harry!
Another thing, one of my most successful bits in terms of, well, my accents aren't great. They're not awful.
They're getting better.
But well, and Elle's mum, who is an actress, actor,
thank you.
Accidentally said I have an ear for accents because she's just done Scotland. I think she was drunk and lying, but I'll take that to the cows come home. But another one of my accent bits that for some reason, what was this? Excuse me, have you got Sky Sports on your phone? Right, that. You thought that was like legendary, right?
Yeah. Well, I can't remember what the story was.
I just made it up one day. This is why it's one of the most confused. It's my most successful comedic bit that I've ever had. Yeah. People would, I said it once in a bar when I was with one of our friends.
Yeah.
He lost it. So I just did it to a few other people.
But why? It's such a random.
With no context.
Yeah.
It's like one of my most successful things.
Yeah.
That no one knows I did.
Oh, I thought it was just mimicking our friend Michael Haddad.
No, I wasn't with Michael Haddad, friend of the show. I was with a different person, friend
and
of the
just,
show.
And you just, it just came out of nowhere. It was just a divine inspiration.
Just a moment of magic, you know. They don't come very often.
So in the news, I guess Boys Gone Wild news would be that there's been, in Glasgow, there's been a lot of controversy. But arguably they're making too big a deal out of it, the way that it's been reported.
Who's they? The media?
Yeah, that, like I saw an ITV report talk about how it's a tragic story.
Yeah, of course. I don't think it's... Relax.
It was like, yeah, the people might got conned out of 30 quid. I don't... It's not...
It was a bit more than that, but it was maybe it was like 150 quid or something.
I don't think it was. I think it was like 35 quid.
It was 50 minimum, but no, really. Again, it was either 50 or 150. It was probably 50. Yeah, it's not a fucking tragedy. Yeah, I remember there was one of the ladies talking about it. Like, and there's... It's like a Daily Mail or whatever thing when there's a picture of the angry lady standing in front of the thing. Like, this is insane.
So it's a sort of fire festival style thing.
Yes, yeah. Explain for the
people had been promised a Willy Wonka experience.
Come with me.
Yeah.
And you'll
and the advert shows
in a world of pure imagination.
I think they got like AI images as well.
It was confirmed AI images, yeah. But to be honest, fucking dumb is obviously an animated image.
Yeah.
So when people are going, it doesn't look like that, it was like, of course it doesn't look like that. Yeah. That's a drawing.
And then they came to the warehouse and yeah, it was hilariously shit. I mean, actually,
poor start, what you say when you're going to the warehouse.
Yeah. It was a warehouse. They came in and there was, I think immediately you're greeted by a pile of bin bags.
Yeah, there was definitely, like, it was like one
but
of those.
What made me laugh is that they still tried a little bit. It wasn't like a complete.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you turn up and it's like, well, we just stole your money.
Yeah.
It was like, we're still going to attempt to try and.
Yeah, maybe they won't notice. Maybe the kids are dumb enough to be like, wow, this is magical.
And it was like, so this giant warehouse, but they had such little stuff in there. They had a couple of coloured pipes.
Yeah. You know, like a Methodist centre where you have like events on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have like a, and there's always those tables that don't have a bottom.
Yes.
Don't have a back to them.
Yeah.
So there's their white tables of grey hinge.
Yeah, legs.
And they're always there.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, look it up.
It was a non-place. It was just a sort of...
Is that red light not on?
Oh, it's not. Oh, dear. What else did they have there? They had like... What did bum me out a little bit was in the ITV report, there were still photos that they'd taken with the kids there.
Yeah.
Which sort of implies that they'd gone there and been like... tried to make it work.
Yeah,
like I feel I would have gone there and immediately been like, I'm really sorry guys,
well you'd be
let's
like
let's go get some ice cream
you'd be
or
like I know that the river wasn't great, but just wait until you get to the land of chocolate. That's really gonna come through.
Well, that's what you'd do.
Yeah, well no, you'd be like, if the first room shit, you're not gonna go. You'd be like, you're gonna have to try. And
I don't know, maybe I'm giving myself too much credit. I do feel I'd walk in there and immediately realize completely
you've arranged. No, you're not.
No?
You're not putting yourself in the role of a parent.
Maybe not.
You've just spent, like, you know, you've worked all week. You spent 150. You spent £50 a head to come to this Wonka thing that you've been making the kids excited about all week. You're not going to see the welcome sign and fuck off.
Yeah,
you got to try and make something out of it.
I guess
you
so.
Never know. It might get better.
And also, kids are thick. So.
Kids are dumbheads.
Yeah,
they're big old thick boys and girls. But it was. The company that ran this were called...
Fraud Center.
Well, they were called like Illuminati.
Oh, yeah, they're called Illuminati.
No, not the... It was like the Illuminati something.
Yeah.
Like Illuminati...
The Illuminati group or something.
Yeah, I think it was basically the Illuminati group. It was like... That's a red flag for me.
Yeah.
When I was purchasing tickets to... The Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like... Yeah. When I go on the website and it says the Illuminati group, I would maybe think twice about whether I'm actually going to see some Oompa Loompas.
Apparently the owner put on social media a heartfelt, tearful apology. But issued said he was not going to issue any refunds.
He's not issuing refunds,
which I do respect.
Yeah, I mean that's the best PR way to do it, because then you know.
Just like, I'm really sorry you're having a good time, but no, I'm not going to give you.
You can't have the money back. Yeah. Of course you can't.
But they didn't. It didn't seem like he spent a lot of money, so he's clearly a man severely.
Oh, he's made some fucking dosh.
Yeah, he's severely in debt. I think this strikes me as a man with a last ditch attempt to make money, who's in debt to some very bad people.
Yeah,
and he's like, we need to really, really spin the wheel, and it's like. He's got some people in his circle, but none of them have any expertise in creating this experience. So he's calling, basically he's calling Steve the handyman and saying, let's make Willy Wonka.
Let's make Charlie the Chocolate Factory in a day, in a warehouse with very limited resources. Well, there were all these kids who were employed as actors as well.
Oh yeah.
And the interviews to them is great. I mean, it's kind of begging for some sort of story as the guy who plays Willy Wonka.
Wait, like a Toby Jones ITV?
A Toby Jones ITV. Because they're still to be paid. The actors are still to be paid.
Oh, fuck.
The whole thing's obviously a scam.
Yeah.
And like the thing is, because it's the Illuminati group or whatever, it was like...
Don't you have bigger fish to fry?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you reckon that's Jeff Bezos and Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah. It's Illuminati, isn't it? No, but it's clearly a fraud group, I guess.
Yeah.
But then it's so... The question that we often have to ask ourselves as the gatekeepers of the Boys Gone Wild Museum of Fame and Hall of Success is, do we respect them or do we hate them?
I think we maybe should have a segment where we need a better word for respect or disrespect, so a bit more catchy, but you know,
love or loathe.
It's not incredible.
No, not like 19th century kind of playwright.
I'm going to say love this guy, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too. Big thumbs up. Hard thumbs up. The stakes are low. It's not like, you know, we've admitted some far worse human beings into the Boys Gone Wild Hall of Fame than the guy who mugged off a few families for 50 odd quid.
I think it really made me laugh. The ITV coverage is extraordinary.
It's hilarious.
But
it's
the serious they are.
Yeah, and but
a
even the mum
story.
I get that it's annoying for I would be pissed off. But the fact that they've got on, like, once it gets national coverage, surely you're now like, this is hilarious.
But it's also, do you not think incredibly cringe to be caught by a scam? Right? I can't understand why you did get
literally happened to you a couple of, you spoke about it on the podcast how you fell victim to a scam.
Yeah, I would avoid having my face anywhere near this. I might do one of those
blurred out. Weird that you have spoke about being a victim of a scam on an internet podcast.
No, because it's more, I think that is not as cringe as, like, for some reason the idea of turning up to one of these events is just cringe to
what,
me.
What, in your, like, Charlie Bucket hat?
You've gone out for a lovely day out and it's just...
It's awful. Then you spend the next like week complaining about it in the national media about how bad your weekend was.
I would have a face blurred voice modulator and I'll be on
there. Yeah.
Horatio Gould, anonymous. Anonymous.
It is unclear why he needed to remain anonymous. However, he insisted. And that is,
there was the only two pipes.
There was one Oompa Loompa for the whole experience. It was quite awful. I don't know
why you become posher. Because one lady was like, well, it's been a week or so. And she's like, I'm now starting to see a bit of the funny side. But there was just 3 days where it was fucking outrage.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting way of how the media works, because they know that that's funny. That's why it was a story, because it was funny. But they can't be like, lol, look at this. They have to be like, unbelievable scam and everything. And they'll kind of like egg them on in their interviews and everything. But it looked fun.
Yeah. I think what made me laugh as well was you've seen that video of the guy behind the mirror?
Behind the mirror.
That's the first one I saw. So it was sort of like, in a random corner of the room, there was like a mirror like this, like a lengthway mirror like that. And it was sort of like leaned against the corner, and then hiding, clearly hidden behind it, is a guy in a mask. And he's hiding behind it. Yeah, it's terrifying. And then he stands up, and I think he's meant to be Willy Wonka, right? With the mask. And all the kids burst into tears immediately.
Really?
Obviously.
No, that's a great
thing. It's like a Phantom of the Opera style mask, and he's wearing a pirate hat.
Nowhere is... Yeah, I was about to be like, that didn't happen to Charlie Patrick, but none of this did. None of it did. It's worth looking at the pictures if you haven't seen it. It's literally, the sparseness is the funniest thing.
It's so sparse.
Because there was no
such
effort.
Such a big room.
No effort to fill the space whatsoever. I mean, it's probably about 30% Wonka and 70% warehouse, and like and the 30% Wonka is weak. It's not like they poured all, they just accidentally got the spaces too big. If they had the a smaller space, they had the materials. They did not have the materials.
So yeah, I'd say love.
I for me, it's the Illuminati group is in the there.
Another guy who I think would probably be up for love and loathe this week would be Bradley Cooper.
Big news.
Well, obviously we've been covering Bradley Cooper for a while. I'm really into Bradley Cooper certainly at the moment. We covered his choice to have massive prosthetic nose in Maestro and no prosthetics for Elephant Man. But new footage has emerged. That implies that it's like, you know, secret videos. This is him in a press interview.
Yeah.
He's with the children of Leonard Bernstein. And I don't know what the interview is, but they're sat on a plush sofa with good lighting. So I assume it's a sort of like...
It will be part of the like press tour for Maestro. Well, they did, I swear the family got angry at him for the nose. But,
they said it was false reports. They said it was fine. He's remembering Leonard Bernstein and talking about him very emotionally. And then he starts... He bursts into tears, holding back tears, which is often
more emotional.
Yeah. At the idea of him, because he's just talking about how emotional it was to be that close to that person, get close to that character.
And how they shared something special. Yeah.
But he never met Leonard
Bernstein. He never met Leonard Bernstein. Yeah.
And he was with his actual children, who were sort of stony-faced.
Look it up. Pause this and go to that now.
I just love actors. That is such an amazing energy to have. Be with the guy's actual children and be weeping over the loss of this man who you've never met, who knows nothing about you.
It's something I could never do. I admire him. It's a place I could never get to emotionally.
Yeah.
And it's one of the least self-aware things I've ever seen in my life, actually.
I thought he was quite self-aware maybe back in the day.
During the Hangover and Limitless days?
Well, more because I'd never seen him in interviews and stuff, and he's a good actor, so I assumed he wasn't. I think it's now, it's just everything new I see of him, it seems like he's probably getting less and less self-aware.
The other thing was when he was doing that interview with, I think, Emma Stone, and he kept closing his eyes when he was talking. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, this is like...
that's cool. I like that.
This is less self-aware and more...
It's implying that what you're saying is really powerful, right?
So every
time I speak, I'm just going to close like my that, eye.
And then, it said it helps him think better in a conversation if he shuts his eyes and go like that. And like
This is like an actual thing that he talks about.
He's realised it helps him think and speak better if he shuts his eyes. It goes like that.
Well, probably it does.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
You look like an idiot.
What if I do that for the whole time?
Yeah, I think...
It's a weird energy to bring to a podcast.
I probably would think and speak better if I closed my eyes and really thought about what I was saying.
Yeah. But then what's...
I think it takes too much away.
What if I do this for the whole thing?
It just makes it look like conversation's too hard for me if I'm constantly trying to think.
And then that went over there.
I went to the...
Oh. We're not exactly saying anything profound there. Was that our attempt at being profound?
I went to the...
I went that thing there, yeah. I think. Maybe he's breaking another glass ceiling, smashing through it.
What's the glass ceiling?
Having your eyes open when having a conversation.
Oh, I guess so.
Well, there is, and you can't deny this, there is an overwhelming global pressure to have your eyes open when you're talking to someone.
It's true.
I think he might just have a problem with eye contact. Then I'm like, just look away. I don't think he needs to shut his eyes. He just needs to look away.
What is this interview?
He says, I've had a real... I think it's an actors on actors thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But like, it's more like a...
Which is great. There's no one calling them out because it's just...
No.
It's just them giving each other the same energy.
It's true. I think it's as simple as he's come to the realization that if he shuts his eyes, he can think better.
Yeah,
and he can talk better, but I don't think he's come to that realization. He's probably just got to the age where he doesn't mind as much, or the kind of mental place where he doesn't mind as much looking like a maniac.
No,
I like it though.
Yeah,
I kind of like that.
Yeah,
it adds a.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised if he played a blind man in a biopic, and that he closed his eyes for 4 years to prepare for it.
Oh, is he method? He is.
No, he's not. I don't think he is method. I think he just works really hard at.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can do a method acting role if you direct the film as well. Because then it's Bernstein's directing.
No, I must be able to do a Bernstein impression, but I do.
You're going to do your go-to. Hey,
what's it going on over here? Hey, cut. No. You could. It would be, yeah. I don't think it probably wouldn't work, would it? Because then you'd have to, if you were proper method acting, it would become, you know, Bernstein's directing.
Exactly.
And it wouldn't be Bradley Cooper anymore. No.
So I just think he works hard.
Yeah, I mean, no, it is actually... We've spoken about it a lot, so then the kind of sting has gone away from this, but it is one of the most astonishing videos I've seen. It was Bradley Cooper crying in front of the... He's never met him.
Yeah.
And he is getting emotional over how close they were and the togetherness that they had and how close he experienced Bernstein in the film when he's acting him. It's the most insane thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, I just do feel like actors just don't have... people to bring them back down to these sort of actors.
Yeah, we're talking A list. Yeah. We're not talking about like Nick Frost.
Or the guy who played Willy Wonka in the Glasgow.
No,
he's not.
If anything, he needs a boost.
I think he's very self-aware. Yeah. I think he's painfully self-aware.
Yeah, yeah. He is looking for the next role. He's really not looking back at his last role. He's not crying about how close he was with Willy Wonka during that performance. The masked performance where he jumped outside out of a mirror.
But yeah, even if you look at Sean Penn, like that is what happens down the line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what happens with like another 20 years.
There's a river. Yeah. It's like a dam.
Yeah. That, Mystic River.
Yeah, exactly. The film that Sean Penn starred in. Yeah. Well, that's why it's called the river. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I never want to.
It's like one of those films where I'm just like, it annoys me that it exists.
Me too.
Because it's like, it got Oscar buzz. It's got loads of people. Yeah. I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah. I know he has a big emotional scene and it's like a detective film.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm not going to watch it.
I really don't want to.
No, I don't want to.
I agree. It annoys me too. There's clearly like, there's a point at which you transcend into, you know.
Beyond the point of return.
Yeah. Where there's no help. Some managed to make it through unscathed.
Yeah.
Cooper and Penn were not two of those people.
No, God, no. I wonder if we've got any new people coming up through the generation. We must do.
Barry's already lost it. Barry,
yeah, Barry's starting to lose
his mind.
Have
you seen Barry on Hot Wings?
No. Yeah, he's really serving it up.
To be fair, I'm pretty biased because I only saw one clip of when the thing was like he's being arrogant.
We don't like to do any more research than that. So a clip is enough for us.
And what I'm doing is saying what the caption said. If that's what you want, stay, like and subscribe. Yeah. No, it was like him being cocky or arrogant. And I'm like, obviously it was a bit. He wasn't just saying these things. Yeah. But even to do that as a bit, it still requires a level of cockiness.
I think I just talked about this in the pod, but did I tell you about Mike's friend... in Ireland. Did I talk about this in the pod? I don't think I did.
I can't. Problem is we do everything in this fucking room.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was on the before we were sitting there or there.
Yeah. Well, I do even more in this room. So how do you think I feel?
We'll be right back.
Basically, Mike, being Irish, had a mutual friend with Barry Keoghan, and apparently they were drinking heavily in a pub, and they went over to speak to him.
Wait, who?
Mike's friend.
Not Mike.
And he... got drunk and started showing everyone his bank account, showing that he's got £50 million in his bank account. But it was more like he couldn't believe it.
It's
actually quite like
what's going on. He's like,
look at that.
To be fair, I'd want to see that because it sounds.
I'd love to see what that written down. £15 million
because it sounds
net worth
arrogant,
account.
But it is interesting.
It's more like it is kind of mad.
You're like, look, that's what it looks like because it doesn't. Yeah, it's almost indescribable.
Yeah, I wouldn't if I got $15 million. I probably wouldn't do it, but I guess if I won the lottery, I'd show you my bank.
Yeah, because there's no, you've just pure luck. Who gives a fuck? And you'd be like, look at this. It's free money.
£15 million. Yeah.
What's going on? More power to him. He's gonna fall off.
But Love and Loathe, I think actually Loathe Barry Keoghan, which feels harsh.
It's harsh, but we're on one end of a seesaw and he's on the other, and
What's the other?
I'll tell
Please.
You. Oh, and then we're not to tell you. He's at the moment the weight of him. Of I guess if he goes up, then we've accepted him.
Yeah.
If he goes down, then we've said no, and we go up, right?
What do you think? Only this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
I'm not saying us and Barry Keoghan exist within the same space because at the moment we've got slightly different projects going on.
Yeah.
No, it's more like for the Love and Loathe.
Yeah.
If this is what we're calling this segment. We're on a seesaw making the decision. If the decision is love, we go down, Barry goes up. if the decision is Love, Barry goes down, we go up.
Oh, so it's more like his career's already hurtling too much. We don't want to give any more.
No, no, no. You're overcomplicating it. It's as simple as if we love him, then he goes up. If we loathe him, then we go up and he goes down on the seesaw. Right. A seesaw is a thing.
Yeah. So how...
You know what a seesaw is, right?
Yeah, I do know what a seesaw is.
Yeah, yeah.
I trust what you're saying makes sense.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the seesaw is balanced. Mm-hmm. So he is not either up or down because he's still got a bit of a chance. He's young. Yeah. The kid's young. He's just got a few of these big roles.
Yeah.
Give him a chance. He's just got his first fun haircut. He's gone for a haircut. He's just had his first like proper stylist come in.
He's dating a pop star.
Give the bloke a break.
Yeah.
Give him a year or two to find it, and then we'll see him come round.
Now, why is it annoyed me that he's dating a pop star? That's what I'm trying to work out. Is it bitterness?
Or is it too obvious? Is it like...
Well, she's like... Sabrina Carpenter's like the most stereotypically attractive.
I knew you'd say that because she's your type.
Well, yeah. No, but she's like...
She's not the top.
No, it's not what I'm saying. She's a Barbie doll. You know, it's the...
Right.
It's the objective standard, right?
Yeah, I suppose
it's not the kinky weird shit you're into.
River trolls.
Yeah, exactly. A big load of wood through their nose. Like it's like
throwing rocks at me.
You know, it's the if he's not stereotypically attractive or like ugly hot, she's just the most conventionally attractive you can be, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
So you think you're suggesting it's not genuine.
Well, it's more, but I'm actually trying to work out myself.
Pick someone with a bit of a...
No, because fair fucks to him. I think if I was growing up and I was ugly and everyone was making fun of me for being ugly, and then I got with the most like conventionally attractive woman, I think that's a success story, but it has pissed me off and I don't know why.
Is it just all a bit too much too soon?
Maybe. I think it's poor old Barry's going to be left in the dirt.
He's had those roles. He did Saltburn, and then he had the haircut, and then he did those Oscar speech, not the Oscar speech, the award ceremony thing, and then Sabrina Carpenter. It's a bit
Just... And I think maybe I think his head's going to blow up if he gets any more.
Well, it could be a Bieber
validations.
Moment. Could be a Bieber moment, but then
what do you say is a Bieber moment?
Well, when he lost his mind.
Oh yeah, when he started going into the comments and defending his wife.
Like, yeah, well,
I really rated that.
Wasn't it? His wife was more towards the end of the Bieber moment. His wife kind of got him down.
What did he?
He was driving into posts and letterboxes and like drugs and you know.
Yeah, and then like a mental health break.
Yeah, but then, and now he seems to be kind of back. I think
because he loves his wife very much, seemingly, and. What I rated about him was in the comments, people would just slag off. If you're that famous, people are always going to just slag off.
If you get a video over 100,000 views, these people are slagging off. It doesn't matter.
But what I like is just the people just like jumping in and just getting like, you know.
Getting down and dirty.
Don't you talk about my beautiful wife.
It's kind of the modern day equivalent of defending your wife's honor in like a tavern if someone
that's what I saw it like.
It's like throwing just down your glass. Like, you say what? You can.
Yeah, just fucking jumping.
Except it's just doing it on the keyboard and then anyone on.
I did karaoke this week. Oh. BB's friend's birthday. I'm against karaoke in general.
That's such a lame thing.
I don't. It's not my chosen form of activity. I'm not
right.
A fan.
So it's not like you're not placarding it on a Saturday night.
I'm not. God hates karaoke.
Yeah. You don't think the right to choose karaoke should be taken away from people? it should be available.
Yeah. But it's. I don't know. Maybe it's primarily for the girls and the gays.
We have exactly the same color scheme on.
Yeah, we do.
I'm
actually repping my alma mater.
Our alma mater.
You never represent our alma mater.
I don't, for good reason.
You need to represent our alma mater.
If I had like a hat on, I'd do it.
What, a University of Warwick hat?
Yeah, like a cowboy hat.
It's not. I guess it's something. Like, Warwick. It's not one that you really rep, is it?
Warwick, no. You know, it's kind of in between. Yeah. It's nothing really.
But it is. I do like saying alma mater.
Alma mater.
Alma mater.
Alma mater.
My alma mater.
Alma mater. The mighty have fallen.
So they like karaoke a lot and they go often. It does feel it's primarily aimed at the girls and the gays, karaoke, right?
And me.
And you. Because you're a big karaoke guy. Well, I know we talked about this, but you
have, I love karaoke.
How often did you go?
I don't think to love something, you don't have to do it frequently.
But are you going to like the karaoke rooms?
I've been to karaoke 3 times in the last year. That's enough.
That's
I don't want to do it more than that.
No,
I'm not. Yeah. I guess a gay or a girl.
No. But I got there and I was the first boyfriend to arrive.
Yeah, I did see that.
And they were loving it and I was appreciating that they were loving
did
it.
Did you sing?
I did sing, actually. I got into it and had a great time in the end.
Did you sing the Mambo number 5?
No, I sung Viva La Vida.
It's your one moment to try and be a little bit sincere. And you just couldn't do it.
What? Sincere?
Viva La Vida.
Yeah, because it's Sao Paulo. And I got everyone to get their phone torches up.
Yeah, that's good.
I used to rule the world. A lot of lyrics I did not know that was the lyrics. That's a big thing about karaoke. Like, I didn't know that was the fucking...
I don't know lyrics.
But then, there's a lot of actors turned up. Very nice actors. But yeah, I think it's just a much more... Actors are much more ready to get down and dirty with
of course they are. That's what they do for a job, you know.
You know, musical theatre kids, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, well...
But I enjoyed myself more than I thought I would.
That's the most important thing, isn't it?
And I think it's actually because of how much they loved karaoke, it really felt like it was quite easy to slip in.
Tough to go into.
I definitely wouldn't want to be carrying... I did enjoy karaoke, but what I'd hate is to have... To be the one having to G anyone up. I don't think I could get people in the mood for karaoke.
Of course
I could be. I could be.
You don't need to think that. You can know that.
In the slipstream, but I can't be the one being like, come on.
Doing a post-ironic cover of Viva La Vida. Of course you couldn't. Yeah, no, well.
And it is embarrassing.
To be fucko'd to do
it. It is embarrassing to do it sincerely, I think. I do think that's embarrassing.
How sincerely?
I think, like, it's sing the song, but it's about fun, silly songs. But if you're like, right, here's my time for a ballad, and you're trying to show off how amazing you are at singing.
Obviously trying to show off how amazing you are is the wrong thing, but there is a level of getting into it.
Yeah,
Put
your pussy into it, but don't...
Pussy. Well, it's a tough... I think the reason why people hate it, because often, you know, there's three people in the world.
Yeah. There's three kind of people in the world.
Everyone shine on me.
I was singing the Britney song, but I don't remember the rest.
There's three kind.
There's two kind of people in the world.
Again, your melodies are often
so
off.
Those who perform and those who observe. What? Something like that.
Doesn't sound like one of her
hits. We sang a lot of Britney, and I tell you what, you know, after we've been slagging, well, not slagging Britney off, we were more, you know, trying to section her. She does. She serves it. I mean,
of course she does.
And some of her lyrics, she really clap back at the haters.
When?
Most of her songs,
the
I think
distracts.
In her period, she clap back well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she not making music anymore then?
No, she's focusing on her dance career.
Yeah, well, we probably talk about the fact that we took down a Britney clip.
Yeah.
We just thought it wasn't worth it.
It
was semi-unwise to put it because it's like Britney and Tay-Tay.
Because I did message before. I was like, I don't think we should do this. Or I was a bit like, is this fine? You're like, so. And then we did it. And then it wasn't.
I think it was more trying to say that maybe her dad was right. I think that was the thing that really...
But that was a good punchline. That's what I kept saying. But as always with clips, it cuts up. Because there was loads we could have put in where we became more measured towards the end. But it was like, why would we put that in? It takes out the joke. In reality, it was unwise to do it.
Yeah. We did it at Rowan's, the karaoke, which... does everything. Rowan's is a fucking crazy place because on the weekend you have to spend £4 just to get in now.
£4
on the weekend, and they got like 3 bouncers for some reason. I guess it probably must kick off.
They started putting bouncers at this golf driving range I go to.
For what?
Well, there is a bar there, but it's like, you know, it's not a big bar.
Are you going on your own ever?
So I have gone on my own.
You
when it was sunnier, yeah.
And how was that?
Fucking great.
That's a
dream. I prefer to do things by myself most of the time. Activities like that, it's nice to do anyway.
Yeah.
Although, no, it's nice because I do it with my friend who I see not loads.
Okay.
Know? So that's nice.
Where's the driving range?
Greenwich Peninsula.
Oh.
So you hit
Are you hitting it into Canary Wharf? Like, not into the building?
There's like a door open.
Well, you're trying to hit each window.
You get £1,000 if you hit it in Canary Wharf.
It's what caused the financial crash.
It did, yeah. Just loads of balls went in and hit all the computers. I'm like, money doesn't exist anymore. No, it's on like, No, you're not hitting it into Canary Wharf. There's like, there, but it's right on the river.
Yeah.
There's obviously big nets. I've hit over a net one time accidentally. And that's like, you know, I was worried. That could be...
Someone on a boat.
Yeah. Well, no, but there's a path. There's a path right next to it.
That seems a bit...
It seems like, a bit dodgy. There's rules as to kind of avoid that. The nets are pretty big, but still, you know.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. I was keeping an eye on the news for someone dying the next day. Didn't happen. Got away with it yet again.
But there has been a lot of deaths recently in London.
What are you saying? Is it dying time? Die time?
Well, seemingly, or is it getting reported more?
What deaths are you talking about?
Well, the big scale ones.
Big scare?
Well, there's the Ahmed Abdi.
Sorry.
You know him? Ahmed Abdi?
No.
The fucking acid attack guy. The fucking scariest man ever.
Oh, yeah. The creepy man.
I thought I saw him.
Oh, you thought
did I talk to you about this? Did I tell you about this?
Yeah.
Basically on the tube, I think two nights before, because they said if anyone's seen him on the Victoria line around these sort of times.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, I did see the craziest looking guy I've ever seen in my life on the Victoria line the day before.
Why? So, what was crazy about him?
I guess his face had a look quite similar, but it looked quite like, it was like a Mongol looking face, but blue eyes and then Justin Bieber hairstyle.
Yeah, right? Fair play.
Which is crazy. And then he had, his shoes were caked in mud, right?
Mm.
And he was sat, no bag, sat up on the thing like this, staring at all the women, trying to get them to look at him. All right. And I kept trying to look at him because I was trying to remember what he looked like, because I was like, this is the maddest looking dude ever.
Yeah.
Every time I looked at him, he'd glare at me and I was like, this is fucking terrifying. So I kept trying to sneak a look because I was like, I need to see more of this guy,
because
this
guy
gives me the fucking heebie-jeebies. And he got out at the same stop as me.
But he didn't have a scar on his face. So
also, it was actually clearly not him when you did. But for a second, my blood ran cold because the actual face was quite similar, but the haircut was different.
Yeah. Well, I suppose he died, but it was a suicide, wasn't it?
Yeah, but this would have been the day before. So this could be, in my head, it's like he could have been out and about just looking to do this shit.
Yeah, I know. But in terms of like, there's more deaths in London. There was an acid, he acid attacked people and then killed himself. I don't think that's enough to...
We're just getting more dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get, not,
all the news notifications.
What?
All the news notifications get like, more ratchet.
There's protests and there's unrest because of Israel-Palestine. That's what's about to be a bit more dangerous in Russia, but
yeah.
I don't know. Knife crimes up.
I think so. But I don't know. It just, it seems like the...
You're feeling on the streets.
My BBC news notifications are getting more and more ratchet, I feel.
Yeah, we're definitely crescendoing to something.
Something's gonna pop.
Yeah.
I think we need like a Batman.
Yeah.
We need someone to...
Clean up the streets.
Someone needs to clean up the streets, yeah.
What would a good English version of Batman be? Someone who we could actually... Because, you know, a bloke rocks up.
Fox Boy.
Right?
Yeah.
Kind of like it.
Yeah?
The thing is, I wouldn't trust him to clean up the streets.
What, Fox Boy? Yeah, because he's sneaking about. He's eating trash.
And also, why are you a boy?
Yeah.
I don't want a boy. I want a man.
Fox Baby.
Fox Baby. Lad Baby.
Yeah.
Fuck Lad Baby. Fuck Lad Baby.
Yeah, Lad Baby, I think, is the most... But who...
They're parasites.
Who's a fan of Lad Baby?
Apparently everyone. They're always Christmas number one.
Imagine being a lad... Oh, imagine being like...
Mate, have you seen these guys?
I love Lad Baby.
Lad Baby. Lad...
Loathe.
Why are they called they have a baby? They've got to have a baby. Yeah, they've got a baby.
Are they at all linked with Lad Bible, Lad Baby?
No.
What's going on there, then?
It's obscene.
It's not on.
And they sing about sausage rolls and become, for people who are international listeners.
Our Christmas number ones
for the
have
last
been
three...
hijacked by domestic terrorists.
By domestic... Who is this couple clearly from, like, I don't know, the home counties? Or they're like, or maybe they're northern-ish, but they're well off and they've got, well, they've got that house.
I don't want to know. I'd rather not know.
Yeah, they are domestic terrorists. And every year they basically just like sing about sausage rolls, and it's kind of musical comedy that isn't musical or comedic.
And they hijack the charts and they get Christmas number one every year.
And I just don't know why. What are we saying with
that?
What
they did is they destroyed the idea of the Christmas number one. The Christmas number one doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
And it used to, but it's like, well, if it's going to be just given to what's the shittest song we can possibly vote?
That also doesn't say. I mean, because there was a bit when there was the whole Rage Against the Machine Christmas number one thing. Yeah. That was at least like, fuck the system, let's stand for something. Yeah. These two cunts singing about sausage rolls. What are we saying by allowing them to?
Wouldn't it be funny if
win?
A song about sausage rolls got Chris's number one. Yeah, the first time. But if you do it 8 times and you've learned how to...
It wasn't funny the first time.
Yeah, if you learn how to rig the system, it stops
being
funny.
No, they changed their song. It's not always Sausage Rolls.
Is it not?
No, I think that Sausage Rolls was one of them. It might have been the recent one. Their first
one, they have a different comedy song each time. They have a different...
Yeah. So it's not always Sausage Rolls. But to be honest, the theme isn't that far away from Sausage Rolls.
Well, I think the Wheelstone Raider went for Christmas number one.
And why? And as he should.
Yeah, and that was... I think he came, he did all right, like, probably not actually, probably got like in the top 20, Wheelstone Raider. I think he's quite a tragic trajectory. For these who don't know who Wheelstone Raider is.
It's a tough one to explain.
It's a viral video of a man at a grassroots football game furiously shouting at someone who, you've got no fans.
You've got no fans.
Yeah.
You got no fans.
And so.
There's not many fans around the whole.
Yeah. You've got no fans.
Yeah. What's that? Well, you want some?
I'll give it you.
Yeah.
And he became a meme viral sensation very briefly, and then clearly, you know, needed money, so tried to squeeze as much money out of this viral fame as possible. And this is sort of the darkest side of fame.
Yeah.
Probably the bottom floor of fame probably the Wheelstone Raider. And to make money, he would go on stag dues and be handcuffed to the stag, which I think we have talked about this. But
we have, yeah.
It's about how long is that funny for? Because it is funny, the idea of like...
In my mind, 5 minutes.
Imagine if we got the wheels on radio.
I don't think it's funny at all, actually.
But then you have to hang out with this dude.
Yeah, and then he's
clearly
there.
Quite unwell.
Yeah, and then it's going to be an
just
awkward...
Just bumming the vibes out.
Yeah, because they'll sit down for like a drink in a pub or something, and he's just going to be next to the groom. His big night. And everyone, you're going to have to talk to him.
Yeah.
For idiots that would actually find it funny, they haven't thought it through.
Well, you know, the punishment fits the crime, I feel.
That's true. But then,
there's a poetic justice.
This poor fucker.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's also like he shouldn't be seeking that level of fame. No, just like leave it. No, you don't need
it. Surely there's other ways.
I don't think maybe he's not built for to be famous. He doesn't need to be. I'm sure he's fine.
Right, guys, we're going to move over to the Patreon. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.